Are you a crafter? Annie's Kit Clubs will deliver creativity right to your mailbox. Get a new shipment every month with supplies and instructions to make something beautiful. Whether you like crocheting, quilting, knitting, or other crafts, Annie's has a club for you. They even offer clubs to try a variety of crafting techniques. Make a quick new project every month or take a larger piece like a quilt or an afghan one section at a time. Annie's has clubs for kids too. So introduce your kids to crafting, woodworking, and STEM activities with projects they can make themselves. No matter your age, skill level, or crafting interest, you can explore your favorite hobbies with convenient kits that are just the right size. Visit Annie's Kit Clubs, that's A-N-N-I-E-S, K-I-T, Clubs, C-L-U-B-S.com, and enter promo code BOOMER at checkout to receive 50% off your first order. Begin crafting today. And hello, welcome to Hey Boomer, the show for those of us who believe that we are never too old to set a new goal or dream a new dream. My name is Wendy Green, and I am your host for Hey Boomer. And today we're going to talk about the idea that building a business is hard, but leaving a business is harder. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about the business I had before I moved here to South Carolina. And the business was called Kids Art. It was a franchise, and it was an amazing business for the kids. They loved it. And we taught them to use art materials that in elementary school that they would never have seen until they got to high school. We taught them that there are no mistakes, that they can correct things that they think they did wrong. So it was a real confidence building program. And the kids loved it, and the parents loved it, and the teachers loved it, and I loved it. In fact, we even won Franchisee of the Year Award in Loudoun County, Virginia in 2009. The problem was the business would not make a profit. I talked to my bankers, I talked to the accountants, I talked to the franchise, and just the pieces were not working together to turn a profit. And finally, I decided I was going to have to sell the business. I had to sell it for a loss. It wasn't making a profit. And there was a huge sense of disappointment because I loved it and the kids loved it. And I was like the kids' art lady. So there was a loss of recognition. There was a loss of who am I now? What am I going to do? You know, I didn't want to have to go back into corporate, although I did for a while. And that is also when I got certified to be a life coach, so that I didn't have to stay in corporate. But leaving a business behind that you've put your heart and soul into is really hard. And so I started to talk to some other friends of mine who have been business owners to find out what their feelings were about leaving or selling their business. And my former boss, his biggest disappointment was when he had to sell his last business to a venture capital company, because he said the decision the board made was about the money and not about the people and the culture we had built. So that was a real disappointment to him. But he also said, as a small business owner, the relationships he built were important to him. And so many of them he has managed to maintain over the years. Like, I still have a relationship with him. He still has relationships with many of the people, both professional and personal, because that was a big part of who he was when he built his business. I also have friends that thought they were going to leave their business. They were ready to retire. But then when the you know, rubber hit the road, as they say. They were like, I don't know that I'm really, really ready. And so there was this pullback. Well, I'll just do this part of my business now. So I think all of those things are things that we can talk about with my guest this week, Julie Noonan. And I will bring her on shortly, but I just want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, next Tuesday, May the 16th, is the next Boomer Banter. That will be our fifth Boomer Banter. And that is where we get together as a virtual community and we have fun and we share stories and we connect, have a glass of wine together, and share and learn from each other. We've talked about things like fear versus bravery. We've talked about friendship. We've talked about humor. We've talked about celebration. And this next Tuesday, we'll be talking about lifelong learning, but really more in the respect of what are we still learning about ourselves as we're aging? You know, are we learning new things about ourselves and new ideas and things that we want to try? If you'd like to sign up for the banter, you can either go to the website, heyboomer.biz, or you can drop me an email and I will send you the link so that you can try it out before you decide if this is something you really want to commit to. So you can email me at wendy@heyboomer.biz. I also want to remind you that the Hey Boomer podcast is brought to you with such love and compassion and energy. And it really does take a lot to get the great guests that we have, to put together the shows, to run the banter, to write the blogs, to put them all out to podcast, all of that. So now you have a part in helping me grow this. And that is, I want you to share this episode with a friend that you think would love the show or and would benefit from the show. If you're listening live, you can just tag them in the comments and that will share to them right away. If you are listening on a podcast, please go in and review, put a 5-star review would be great, and then share it to your friends. So those of you on the call live now, please go do that now before you forget. Share this, tag somebody, share it with a friend. Thank you so much. Let me bring Julie on and do a brief introduction. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me. I really am excited about this discussion we're going to have.
I'm excited too. And I'm excited also because Julie is also a coach and went through the same program I went through. So that's
yes.
I know. So Julie has spent most of her professional career leading executives and organizations through change initiatives. Mm-hmm. She has years of executive level experience in consulting in both public and private sector, as well as experience as a corporate employee. She has spent her career coaching leaders at all levels in many industries through many challenges, both professional and personal. Julie used the failures and successes of more than 30 years of change implementations and from watching her clients struggle through COVID, deal with multi-generational values clashes, and be overwhelmed by technology to develop a coaching method she calls RIDE. The RIDE method helps mid and late career leaders who want to remain relevant in this ever-changing business climate. Julie believes in unapologetic authenticity, candor, integrity, and humor. She will tell you the truth, even if it stings. Ouch. That's what a good coach does. Well, welcome to the show, Julie. And we so appreciate the insights you're going to give us on this topic.
Thanks, Wendy.
Before we get started, though, just give me a brief background of your history and how you went from organizational change into coaching executives.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Actually, I started out as an English major, which was is kind of an interesting interesting view of the world. What I figured out early on is why I loved English literature so much is because the stories that I loved so much is really just watching people deal with changes, deal with, you know, the plot twists in their lives. And when I got to corporate America, what I figured out was I really loved watching people do the same exact things in real life that they did in my stories. And I loved being able to help them through some of those changes and help them through the hard things that they had to go through. I loved watching the politics play out. I loved watching the interactions that they had with each other. I loved watching leaders both fail and succeed and helping helping them help their people. And so when I got onto some of these large change projects, I found myself as part of becoming change management certified, being expected to coach these sponsors of these big change projects. And they were very uncomfortable, you know, sponsoring these big changes that were going to be, in some cases, very unpopular is not something that a lot of people, you know, can get up in the morning and say, oh, let me go in and rock somebody's world. You know, let me go in and tell them they're going to have to do something different and they're not going to like it. Most people don't get up in the morning and really want to go do that. And so my job a lot of times was really not necessarily about the people that were being impacted as much as it was about coaching the people who sometimes had not made that decision, but had to stand behind that decision and help their people. First help themselves and then help their people through those decisions. So the longer I did that, the more I figured I really enjoyed that part of it. I enjoyed helping those leaders dig down deep into themselves and discover new things about themselves, discover new ways to look at themselves. And that led then into the coaching. And becoming certified as an executive coach.
So many of the people that are topics we're going to talk about today are focused on endings, right? The ending of a career, whether it's through retirement or sales. And there's a lot of emotions that come out in that. In fact, you talked to me about emotional fallout. Would you say more about that?
Well, anytime there's an ending, what I like to do is also look at it as a beginning. I think, you know, our whole definition of retirement, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years with COVID and the increase in the speed of technology, our whole definition of retirement has changed. For numerous reasons. One reason is, I don't know about your retirement accounts, but yeah, even last week when the banks, you know, here we go again, the banks crashed. You know, I'm looking at my retirement account. I don't know about you, but dang.
Not where it was, is it?
I'm not looking forward to trying to live off of that and Social Security. But a lot of folks are not looking forward to a typical retirement, either because they can't really afford it or they don't want to play golf 24/7 or whatever the case may be, or they're very much more interested in continuing to grow, continuing to learn, to continuing to contribute. And we're living a lot longer than we did even 20, 30 years ago. People are just not done in their mid-60s anymore. They're just not. They have a lot more energy. They want to continue to to contribute. And so this expectation that you're ready to leave the workforce, or you're ready to be quote unquote done, right out to pasture, take your gold watch and head out, that expectation is not there anymore. And so particularly if you have birthed a business, your identity sometimes gets wrapped up in your career or in that business that you've birthed. And many times you aren't really ready to let it go.
Yeah, I think on some levels, the expectation by society is still there, right? You're 65. When are you retiring? Oh, come on already, retire.
Right.
Which I think hits a lot of owners hard and a lot of executives hard, because they're like, but I'm not ready. I still have my best work to do, or I'm going to feel irrelevant. No one's going to need me anymore. I mean, how do you deal with that when society is saying, do it, and you're saying, I don't want to do it?
Well, exactly. I'm finding when I'm talking with a lot of my clients, they're feeling, they will never say this out loud. That's the number one thing. But they're feeling terrified of becoming obsolete. Mm-hmm. Because things are changing so fast. The language has changed almost around them. And they have forgotten that they don't need to know everything. They have, they see the Wall Street Journal articles coming out, and all of a sudden they're not understanding the language. AI, all of the new marketing metrics that are coming out, social media, influencers, yada, 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 how to engage with a particular demographic. They don't really understand that anymore. And even one of my clients actually said, when I started 40 years ago, I engineered my product. I touched my product. I was fully 100,000,000% in charge of the quality of my product. Now I don't even see my product. Not only that, I can't look at the metrics of my sales and even know if I'm doing a good job because it's all sold on the internet.
Oh.
It's all sold with influencers. Mm-hmm. Who are these people? My successors are the ones that are gathered around the table looking at who should we engage that will speak to this new demographic that we're selling to. He said, I don't know who these people are. I have my Rolodex and my network that used to be the successors that I played golf with and that I, met at the trade shows in person. Now there's a whole nother generation that they have never met, but they know who are, the influencers on the internet.
So that is a whole other issue of how do you get the senior leaders to learn how to play with the up and coming leaders.
Yes.
So that it's a win-win all the way around. How do you do that?
Well, one of the things that I do is sometimes I'll set up one-on-one reverse mentoring situations where we actually start with, let's talk about our mutual values to start with. Because sometimes what I find is that generalizations get in the way. Like the younger generations will generalize that the older generations are stuck in their old ways of doing things, that they can't change, that, they're inflexible, that they'll never give up power. Okay. Some of that might be true. right? The older generations will turn around and say, well, the younger generations don't want to work. They're lazy. They don't value the hard work. They won't give over and above. They quiet quit. They whatever, whatever, whatever. Well, some of that might be true, right? But the vast majority, if you actually do a Barrett values assessment and have both of them take the same exact assessment, what you'll find is 9 times out of 10, they have more in common at the baseline values level that they can build upon than they have separate, that they have different than each other. What you'll find at the very bottom is they typically will have some values around quality of life, work-life balance, some level of need for power and recognition. Who doesn't want that? That's a human need. Some level of need for security, some level of need for doing a good job, et cetera. And you can build on that. And then you open it up to, hey, younger generation person, what is it that you would like to do next in your career? Okay, older generation person, what would you like to leave as your legacy? Because it's not going to be what you already built. It's going to be something better. It's going to be, what is your contribution to what this younger generation is building now? You already did your thing. How are you going to contribute to what they're doing now?
Because that's where it gets tough, though, Julie.
Yeah, it does.
Right? The legacy, because you built it, right? You built it. You have your heart and soul in it, and they're changing it.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute. And then, you know, if you're aware enough, you're looking around and going, yeah, well, you know, here are all the companies on the garbage heap that didn't change. So
exactly.
It does have to change, but wow, it's so hard to see it changing before your eyes.
Well, you know, bottom line is, do you want to have a ghost town or do you want to have a metropolis?
Yeah.
Right. So if you built it and you don't allow the next generation to move in and continue to grow, you're going to wind up with a ghost town.
Mm-hmm. Or they're not going to speak to you and then you will be irrelevant.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So how do you know when it's time to say, okay, I'm ready, my successor, I'm ready for you to move in, or I'm ready to back off? How do you know?
I think every single person that I could ask, every single one of my clients who have relinquished and moved on to their next thing, and each one would tell you a different trigger. If I were to generalize across them, the number one thing that I would say is they had something to go to.
Oh, really?
Yes. They had found their next passion. They had found their next purpose. They had found their next step. And that's one of the things that I work on with people when they come to me with this dilemma. There comes a time when there is a tug. There's a tug, whether it's, I feel like that I want to walk away, I'm tired, or I feel like I'm ready for something new. There's some sort of tug that's coming from within them, not that they're being forced. As soon as someone is being forced, then they're going to fight it no matter what, right? Now, do I have clients that are being forced out? Yes, that's a whole different discussion. And I do have some of those. That's when I will step in and we'll discuss what is the next most right step for them. but it's a different discussion than the ones where people are making that choice themselves based on they're feeling the tug from within themselves. When they do feel the tug from within themselves, we explore the sky's the limit. Let's just blue sky it. Let's just talk about if the sky was the limit, what do you want to do? A lot of people start out by saying, I have no idea. I can tell you what I don't want to do. So we start there. I had one client who said, I know what I don't want to do. I don't want to follow her around all the time, meaning his spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has a lot of interests, a lot of hobbies. And his worst nightmare, and this is nothing about her, but his worst nightmare was having her eat up his life, right? And so he wanted to have something that was also his that she could participate in, as opposed to him always participating in her life. So they could share equally.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm coaching people that are moving into retirement, I take them through this thing that, and in the middle is the neutral zone. And that's kind of your blue sky. You don't really know. It's a time to be okay with not knowing, be okay in that discomfort.
Sure.
Yeah. So you play with that with your clients too.
Absolutely. And the other thing too is exploring if they're feeling some sort of pressure, where is that coming from? Because sometimes just knowing where that pressure is coming from tells them a lot about themselves, especially if it's coming from within themselves. If they are a hard driving, A type personality, and they have run their lives, from the womb, everything has been scheduled and planned and they're not used to not knowing what the next step is, giving them permission to not know, as you just mentioned, sometimes that's the best thing that we can do. Allow them to be uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, almost force them to be uncomfortable.
Something to that, I think.
Yes.
And that's where they start to, put their toe in the water and try different things. And that water's too cold. I don't like that.
Right. Yeah. Because growth requires discomfort.
Hmm. Yeah. So a lot of people, I think, also are afraid of retiring or closing a business because of, I'm too old. I'm too old to do anything else. And society is also saying, you're too old, this whole ageism bias that's around. So how do you address that?
Boy, I talk a lot about ageism because of my own personal situation. I've experienced it a lot. I was laid off at 55 and then again at 57. So I talk a lot about ageism, and it is very real, very, very real. How I personally deal with ageism with folks is basically to say, if you believe it, they will see it. If you believe it, they will see it. It's just like if you come across as timid, they will see timid. If you come across as weak, they will see weak. There is nothing that you can do personally to change someone else's ageism opinion. You can only control what you put out there. To combat ageism in your own self, continue to learn, do not panic. continue to remain agile and open. As soon as you close yourself off from learning, as soon as you close yourself off from new ideas, that is when I believe you live up to the stereotypes of ageism. Because as soon as you become the stereotype, you give them the ammunition that they need to shoot with the ageism argument. I don't believe in ageism as a discriminatory factor. I think that organizations who overlook the value that people over 55 bring, particularly since there are not enough in the population, proven there are not enough in the population to make up for the numbers of people who have left and are continuing to leave the working force. Demographically, there are not enough people to take the number of jobs that we will have available over the next several years. If they're not taking advantage of the wisdom of the experience that we bring, they're overlooking a boon. They're really overlooking a boon.
Well, of course I agree with that. And I think that, you know, sometimes we see what we're looking for, right? So as to your point, if we're not looking to be treated as too old, although it is out there and it is very real, I mean, like you are presenting yourself as a consultant with, you're not shying away from, with 30 years of experience. And so people are like, okay, so she's at least 60, you know? And are you finding pushback when you do that?
When I was looking for a corporate job, yes. When I started my own business and was looking for consulting clients and coaching clients, no.
Isn't that interesting? And what do you think is the difference?
I think the difference was when I started going out on my own, my confidence was higher. I wasn't asking them for a job. I was presenting myself as someone who had value that could solve a problem for them.
Yeah.
It was totally in the presentation.
And it was in the way you felt about yourself. You Absolutely. Were the expert. You had the confidence.
Yes.
They didn't have to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing I think that our generation could do is, and that corporations could consider, is that, hey, you know, maybe I don't want a full-time job. You know, that's the other thing. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't want to deal with the politics, or maybe I don't want to go back into corporate America. I don't want to be an SVP or a president or a CEO. I've been there, done that, for crying out loud. I don't want to have a staff of 8,000 people or what. I've done all of that, but I want to have a hand in, I want to have a foot in, I want to continue to offer my expertise. Why can't I be an advisor within a company? Why can't I have a part-time role? Why can't I do an advisory position, you know, 15, 20 hours a week? I don't have to have my own company for that. These companies,
so like an internal consultant.
Sure. These companies could easily staff. What a game changer. You don't have to offer me benefits even.
Right.
Hello, HR, where are you? You should be
thinking
about this. And sure, you would have to pay, you know, a definitely have to pay some nice incentive. But the value that you would get would be phenomenal. You don't have to onboard these people like you would, you know, a less experienced person before you would get value out of these guys and gals.
And Anne just reiterated the point that we made in the comments here. She says the consultant is valued for their experience and wisdom, whereas an employee, they, you know, they feel like they have to fit in, they have to make them on board, they have to give them the benefits. And then, you know, a consultant is a short-term project-driven thing, right? And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, if we hire somebody who's 65, they're going to leave in a few years anyway. Well,
so what?
Right? you get the benefit of the time that they're there. Plus, if you look at the trends in the Gen Z and Gen X, they leave after a few years also.
Right. Guess what? We're thinking about retention entirely. We are so old model with retention these days. What we should be doing is saying, okay, how can we reduce the cost of bringing on, of onboard, finding and onboarding people? We should be looking at how do we reduce that, not, you know, so what if it's a fact that people are going to come in and spend 3 to 5 years with us.
That's the way it is now. That's right. And they don't have pensions. So there's no incentive for them to stay for 30 years like we used to do.
What we really and truly should be focused on is how do we get the best out of the workforce that we have in those 3 to 5 years. And the ones that we absolutely got to keep, what do we do to keep them there? What do we do to keep them growing? Quit spreading stuff around like peanut butter. Let's truly identify those ones that we really, really, really want to have and keep them, you know?
Yeah. I can hear your passion. Wow. I
mean, I'm a radical HR person from way back.
Your passion is great. And you started this whole conversation by telling me, you know, that you love working with the leaders and you love the politics and you love that. And I'm like, you love the politics.
I love turning things upside down. I'm a red team thinker. I like to challenge the status quo. I like to be contrarian. I don't like to start fights, but I do like to say, hey, have we turned that upside down and considered it a different way? What is the absolute very worst thing that could happen? Now let's back up from that. Mm-hmm. Did anybody die? Now I don't ask that in healthcare, but right. You know, did anybody die? Okay, if not, let's back up from that. And it's amazing what people can come up with. And we need to trust every generation and every perspective, that if we listen to all of them, the best ones will come up. They will. And if we put them all together, the blended solution is usually the best one.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it's the most fun at the end of the day. It's the most fun because now everybody is excited about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it makes change management so much easier.
Yeah, I studied that once too.
Whew. Yeah.
Oh man, I know we have some similar paths. So tell me, two or three takeaways that you would leave with people that are either getting ready to retire from a long career or that are looking to, you know, move out of a business that they built. What are two or three things that they need to start thinking about now?
Number one, get curious. Get curious. This world is so big and there are so many things to learn and experience. If you think that your business is all there is, think about how much else there is in the world. And the more you learn, the more you can turn around and add to your business that you can turn around and make a whole new business. Nobody says just because you birthed one business doesn't mean you can't birth another one.
Oh, true. I've seen lots of people do that.
Mm-hmm. It's not like you're a woman that, you know, you go through the thing and you can't have another baby. Uh-uh. You can have as many companies as you have the energy to build, mm-hmm. particularly in this day and age. With the internet, your business creation capability is unlimited. So if that's something that you want to do, stay open to it, get curious about it, partner with a new generation and teach them business while they teach you the new, you know, internet and the new way to reach out to new demographics and social media and artificial intelligence. So stay curious.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Look for things that you don't understand and find somebody that can explain them to you. And just see what comes up that you can get fun and excited about.
See what you can get excited about. Absolutely. Exactly.
Well, yeah. And go to the banter. You might hear something you like.
That's right. Join the Boomer Banter.
Especially next week, you're doing what? Lifelong learning? There you go.
I know. It's the perfect one to go to.
Exactly. There are tons of opportunities right now to get involved in groups like Hey Boomer, that where you can meet people all over the world. And these are relationships that we in the past would never have had the opportunity to have. Take advantage of those.
Yeah. Relationships, absolutely. Networking, whether we're networking online or not.
Right.
Yeah. Julie. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This has been such a fun conversation. Sorry, we have to end.
I know. I could go on.
So if you want to reach out to Julie, you can email her at julie@jnoonan, N-O-O-N-A-N, consulting.com. Or you can check out her website, which is jnoonanconsulting.com. Mm-hmm. And you can learn more about the kinds of things that she does. We didn't even talk about RIDE, what that was.
Well, that's okay.
We could do that another time.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Wendy. And thanks for the Boomer community. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. We have fun. We do have fun. And if you want to join the Boomer Banter, as Julie suggested, you just drop me an email. Go to wendy@heyboomer.biz and I will add you to the Zoom link and you can pop in and talk about lifelong learning with us. So that would be fun. Okay. And share this episode. Share it. So next week, my guest is Dr. Ellen Albertson, and she calls herself the Midlife Whisperer. And I know, and she has a podcast called Rock Your Midlife. So Dr. Ellen is a psychologist, a registered dietitian, a board certified health and wellness coach, a podcaster, a Reiki master, and a self-compassion teacher. And we are going to talk about self-compassion as your superpower. So, which is something that we probably all could be better at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to leave you with the belief to live with curiosity, as Julie said, live with relevance and live with courage. And remember that we are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. My name is Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer. Hey Boomers, 40% of Americans have a hard time swallowing pills. So when it's time to take your vitamins, large capsules and pills are out of the question. I certainly don't like those. So we know gummy vitamins exist, but they're full of sugar. They get stuck in your teeth, and they only contain a fraction of the nutrients that you need. Luckily, Easy Melts has discovered the ultimate vitamin sweet spot, vitamins that melt in your mouth, taste like a treat, and are packed with nutrients ready for absorption, all without an ounce of sugar. For a limited time, Easy Melts is giving Hey Boomer listeners a free 3-month supply of vitamin D3 with your first purchase. To claim your free D3, visit try.easymelts.com/heyboomer. Say goodbye to the old way of taking your vitamins and hello to the easy way.